Pasuk brings discusses Yitzchak Avinu, and was living in Eretz Yisrael, someplace in Eretz Yisrael. There was a Rav, Ayi Rav Ba'aretz, there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was years ago by Avraham Avinu. There's another famine right now. Yitzchak went to Avimelech, the king of Plishtim, to Gerara. Then the pasuk goes on. The next pasuk, Hashem appeared to Avram, told him not to go down, and he listened to Hashem. Didn't go to Mitzrayim, but rather he went to Gror. Says the Sforno, that's the second Sforno on Aleph. Vayelch Yitzchak Avimelech Melech Plishtim. Why? What's this Avimelech? How does he? What's the Shaychus? Sforno is bothered by. What did he go there for? What did he talk to him about? So Yitzchak went to Avimelech, says the Sforno Gitol Rishus Mimenu, right, to ask him permission. Derech Musar, right, as it means a Mushadika thing. Biyoso Chafetz Oz Rotseis Me'arso, since he wanted to leave his land, they are robbed because of the famine. So Yitzchak wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael. He was the king, I guess. I don't know the exact geography and everything, but he was, sounds like he was in one place in Eretz Yisrael. They went to Gror, but it was all Eretz Yisrael. And Avimelech was the king of Geror, was the king of Plishtim, who were in Geror, but I guess it was the whole land, I guess. I don't know exactly, but it seems he was the king of the prominent king in Eretz Yisrael, and he went ahead, and Yitzchak was planning on leaving Eretz Yisrael. There was a famine of him. So he wanted to go to Mitzrayim. Hashem told him, don't go there, so he just stayed in Geror. He went to Geror, fine. But the Sforno says, why did he ask him Rishus? Rito Rishus Imenu. Why did he go talk to him? Rito Rishus Imenu. Derech Musar. It's inappropriate that when you want to leave, you know, I guess he's the king, so you want to leave his land, Me'arzo, you have to tell him that you have to ask Rishus, please, I want to go, is it okay with you? Just a phenomenal deher in Hilchos Derech Eretz, which is hard for us to understand, but Yitzchak obviously had very limited shaychus to Avimelech. They didn't even know each other, Kemat. Later on, next part of the parasha was where the old Meister with Rivka, they thought it was a choso. They found that it was the wife later on. So there was no real connection between Avimelech and Yitzchak at that time. He didn't even know him. He didn't know who his wife was. He thought it was her sister. There was no connection. Now there's a big famine. Yitzchak Avinu has a responsibility to his family, to his children, to the mishpacha, so to speak, take care of them. So he has to leave. He has to leave the country. Very understandable. It's not like a rebellious type thing. He's not going to get a big fight and I'm going to the competition, whatever it is. Like, it was very simple. I have to leave Eretz Yisrael. There's no food. I have to take care of my wife, you know, and all his entourage, all his avodim, his shvachos, and his cattle. And there's no food. So I have to go to Mitzrayim. So, and this guy, Avimelech's the king. He's not his king. He was the king of Gerar, the king of the Plishtim. Wasn't the king of Avram. So, no, it's not appropriate. You know, he is the king of the land. Now, what would have happened if Yitzchak would have went to Avimelech, says, I'm leaving. Avimelech says, no, you can't go. Of course he would have gone, right? He has to go. It's pikuach nefesh. You know, he needs food for his family, right? So, and more than that, Mishnah, Avimelech would definitely not have said no. Because why should he say no? He's not going to stop him. He's a smart king. He's not going to make a fool out of himself. So Yitzchak knew that if he asked Avimelech what to do, Avimelech will say, yes, go. It's not a threat to Avimelech. Obviously, he probably wants to stick around and be in the land, but he knows there's a good reason why he's going, and he's probably not going to listen if he says no anyway. So what should I ask him for? You know, it's a foregone conclusion. I have no allegiance to him. He happens to be the king of the land, of the Plishtim who live in the land. I guess that's the most prominent king, I guess it was. So why should I ask him? Well, that's Derech Eretz. You're living in his land. You're in his house. You have no shaykhs to him. He's just the owner, he's around, he's the most powerful monarch around. But you know what he's going to say, and you're not threatening him, and there's no big fight. And so I have a long-standing relationship with the guy that I have to have shaykhus, I have to be nice to him, he was so nice to me. There was no shaykhus, zero shaykhus. But it's his country, it's his place. You want to leave for a good reason, a legitimate reason. And he knows he'll tell him yes. That's Derech Eretz HaBot. That's what it means to be a, I guess he called it being a supermensch, being a super bal derech eretz, to be super sensitive to people's feelings under the cover that you give them. That's derech eretz. Everyone's a selam olkim. Treat them with the highest level possible respect that you could give them, because they deserve it. You know, I owe nothing. I owe the man zero, but I'm He happens to be the king here, who I have no shaykhus to. He's not even my king, he's king of the Plishtim. I know what he's going to say. No, derech eretz, you have to go ahead. This was a Torah demands from us, or both. A level of derech eretz, which is like, it's almost hard to understand. I guess we understand to a certain degree, but you know, that's derech eretz, but it's hard to define it. But that's what derech eretz is, a tremendous responsibility upon us to treat someone else in the highest possible way possible, even though you know what the outcome is and you're doing nothing wrong, and it's understood, you know what it'll tell you, and you can't say no anyway, and there's no big fight, there's no big problems between us. It's derech eretz. That's the level of derech eretz which Hashem, the Torah, expects of us. Early in the parasha, the Torah talks about Yaakov and Esav. Esav comes back from his day of work. I guess he was a big hunter. I don't know, successful or not, the killer or hunter, and he goes ahead and he comes back. He's exhausted. I think the Gemara, the Medrash brings that he was achazasel bulmus. He had some kind of a high fever. I think it was. He's like delirious, probably. Didn't know what was going on. He was in a fog. He was conscious, but in a fog and very delirious. He was sick, and he asks. He sees Yaakov's cooking up this delicious-looking food. Yomer Yisav Yaakov, ha'iteni nami adom adom hazeh. Give me from this red stuff. Kiv'yef anochi. I'm exhausted. I can't crush my Edom. So the Sforno says, I'm just bringing this in the shmuz and not in the Sforno, but I'll bring it in for the sake of honesty, and maybe there's a little other shmuz there, but that's a different word. I can't crush my Edom. Says the Sforno, kishero shekolkach is makir gomrachto hanim sedes. He was so given over, so indulged in his mlach, which wasn't so exciting, his downgraded. He wasn't the mlach was not a great, I guess, to be a hunter, maybe because he killed people. I'm not sure what he means exactly, but it wasn't the greatest business, and he was so involved in it. Ashagol ketoras adam, the degree that he was not a mensch, so to speak. He wasn't a man anymore. Not like people usually do. This was overkill. Achol hikir benazit. He didn't even recognize what it was. He was so involved in his business, so involved in his work, that he got to a point he couldn't recognize what this was. He just saw the color. He didn't know if it was a lentil soup or a pea soup or mushroom soup or a spaghetti. He didn't know what it was. So he was so involved, so out of it as a mensch, that Karish mo Edom, Russian Sivui Kom His Adem, Hoyot Savu Edom, Barotas Adam. He says, come on, become a mensch, His Adem. You know, playing the words, Adam. Adam, his Adam, become a mensch. So it's just, that's a really separate shmuz in terms of what it means that a person is not, you know, you get a little, I guess maybe we can apply, if a person gets a little drunk or something like that, or gets too involved in something, he loses his faculties, and especially over here, it was worse over here because he was mlachton who said this, so he's not a mensch. A human beings expect to be involved in things which are sichius, which make sense, which are appropriate, which should bring benefit to the world. There's a level to it. There's a certain degree of finality. I'm involved a certain amount, but I don't want to lose my mental cat. I don't want to be ice mensch. And if you can't tell what's going on, you're a little bit high, a little drunk, you can't tell what's going on, so you're not a mensch, so become a mensch. That's the Sforno's pshat. But the Alter in the Oras Safon seems to have a different pshat or both. The Alter says, I didn't bring the whole thing here, but he says a different pshat. I think it's different. He says pshat is because he says to use the terminology of Edom, Adam rather, Adam, Adam Hazeh, is not appropriate. It's not derech eretz. It's not the proper way to speak. Give me this red food over there. Red food. Yeah. Okay. If you don't know the name, you probably say, you probably define. Oh, I'm not sure. Give me that food over there. Whatever, you know. But to call it, to just say, I guess like the red stuff is not appropriate. You call it by its name. It's again, it's hard to understand what this means, but there's a certain way to speak. Now, using the Kol HaSira, both said it was Achazas Obumus, right? He was delirious. He was so out of it. He was sick. He had fever. He didn't know what was going on. He couldn't tell what it was. And he said, a slip of the tongue, so to speak. He said, give me the red stuff. Give me the red stuff. Now, he didn't give me, not give me the soup, give me that, give me the red stuff. That's not the way to talk. It's a very low, crass way of speaking, not a mental thick way. Okay, but he has a good excuse. He's half delirious, he's half sick, he has fever. Right? He has fever. What's he supposed to do? You know? But pshat is supposed to be so ingrained within him. Right? It's supposed to be derech eretz. And the way to speak has to be so much a part of you. It's your essence. It defines the human being. And to such degree, it's supposed to be so embedded. If you don't have it, Even though you have a good excuse, that's not a good excuse. That means something's missing. You're not a mensch. Something's missing with you. There's something wrong with your midos, with your derech eretz. How come you should have such degree of ingrained derech eretz that even if you're sick, you talk the right way. You wouldn't, fakir chazal say other nikar kiso kaso bekoso, right? So a person who whatever midos a person has is supposed to be part of him all the time, even when he's drinking. If he says inappropriate things when he's drinking, it means maybe that's what type of person he is. But he has a good excuse. But Pshat says no, because derech eretz is so chashuv, so important, and it has to be so ingrained. If you're not like that, it's roit forever. Forever he was called Edom, because that describes who he was. It wasn't just Pshat, he wasn't such a talented guy, he wasn't so smart, he was a stickle bat, he was this. No. His whole menschlichkeit was lacking. It wasn't there because he used this dakya sticker, which I can't even hear what it means. He used this expression, which should have been, Edom. He used Adam Hazeh. He used that expression, which wasn't so appropriate. There's something lacking in how you refer to the soup. It's a piece of food Hashem gave you, the food to help you out. You call it the red stuff. It's not the red stuff. And that level, if he didn't have that highest level of derech eretz, even when he was sick, it shows something's wrong, and therefore he's right to be labeled for it forever, for eternity, throughout all the Chumashim. It talks about Edom. Why Edom? Because that's who he is. Look at that man. Why? Because when he was sick, when he had a fever, when he had achazos l'bomas, he didn't talk the proper way. What did he say? He said, Adom. Okay, come on, what do you want me to do? So I'm not perfect. No, if you're lacking derech eretz, that means not just a little lack of perfection. It means something's seriously wrong. Something's lacking your mental parables. That's, again, about the same concept. Torah demands a level of derech eretz, a level of midos tovos, which just has to be so ingrained within you, which is so kimat above our level of understanding. I don't think Hashem would ever tie it to us that we should call it Adam. Maybe we're allowed to do it. But whatever a person could, whatever level of derech eretz he has to strive for within our understanding, within our comprehension, and try to expand our comprehension, because that's how chashuv it is, that it's right to be labeled. This defines him. He wasn't the hunter, he wasn't this, he wasn't that. He was the person who was the Edom man. He was the red man. You know why? Because that Maisa, that story which happened that time, is indicative of who he is and who he wasn't, and what he was lacking, and how lacking he was in derech eretz.